All right, people. Glory to God for our final hymn this morning. Let's open our hymnals to hymn 67. Hymn 67, I love the words.
Opened it right to that page.
Good man. You must be led by the Holy Spirit. Hymn 67, Jesus paid it all. Amen? I'm so glad of that. Let's stand for the final hymn before our message today, and happy Father's Day to all the dads. And happy Father's Day to our Heavenly Father. We'll sing first, second, and fourth.
I hear the singers sing, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Thank you, Lord. On the second.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can chase a leper's thoughts and hurt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Glory to God. On the fourth, beloved.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat.
Everybody now.
Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Yes, indeed. Glory. Please be seated, beloved. What a blessing to know that my sins are washed away in that precious blood. Glory to God, what a Savior we serve. I love that fourth stanza. It says, and when, not if, but when, before the throne I stand, in him complete, Jesus died, my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. All glory to him, amen. Praise the Lord. Folks, let's grab our Bibles this morning, and we'll sing again after the message. Grab your Bibles this morning and open up to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 22. As I sought the Lord this week on what to bring, the Holy Spirit led me to a particular father in the Bible. A particular father that is known as the father of the faithful. Amen. He's known as the father of many nations. He's known as Father Abraham. And here in the 22nd chapter of Genesis, we have a most amazing passage concerning this glorious, this wonderful human father, concerning his glorious Heavenly Father. And let's stand for the reading of God's Holy Word in Genesis 22. And keep in mind, beloved, that what we're about to read here concerning Abraham's son, Isaac is his name. Isaac was born by promise. Amen? Sarah's womb was dead. That means she couldn't conceive. So it was a miraculous birth. Isaac is a great type of Christ. Amen? And Isaac was promised to Abraham when he was 75 years old. He's now 99. His son is actually over 100 because his son is about the age of 12. And he had waited 24 years for Isaac to be born. Keep that in mind as we read. His only son, Isaac. And we're going to speak this morning on the faith of Father Abraham. The faith of Father Abraham. Genesis 22, we read, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Beloved, I want to preach to you this morning briefly on the faith of Father Abraham. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, in heaven, for the faith of this dear, beloved patriarch. We thank you, Lord, that he's known as the father of the faithful. We thank you, Lord, that he was justified by faith and not by works. We thank you, Lord, for the example shining through the pages of Holy Writ concerning the faith of Father Abraham. And we thank you, Lord, that he is an ensample unto us today, to walk and to live by faith, to trust you in our daily lives, to cleave unto you, and Lord, to know that all is well because my Father's on the throne. Bless us as we look into this incredible passage today. And Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts and increase our faith, that we may be Abrahams of this day, walking, living, and abiding by faith, faith in the finished work of the Son of God. And we pray in his holy name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Beloved, please be seated. And it was D.L. Moody that said, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that God is going to test your faith. And he has many ways of doing it, in case you haven't seen it. Recently, on the Discovery Channel, there was a testing of a prototype plane. And two pilots, were asked to fly this plane on its first flight. Now, how would you like to ride on a plane that's never been flown? It's never been tested. I don't know about you, but I'd like to at least be on one that survived its first flight. You need faith to do that. A woman was having surgery, and she was real nervous. She said, "Doc, I'm real nervous about this surgery. This is my first surgery." Doc said, "Oh, I'm nervous too. It's my first one too." Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a surgeon that has done it maybe a time or two before. No, beloved, if I'm going to be operated on, I need an experienced surgeon. And I need an experienced God who knows how to handle my life's problems to trust. Amen? The Hebrew word for, and look at verse 1. It says, it came to pass after these things that God did what? Tempt Abraham. Now, it's not what you're thinking here. The Hebrew word used means to test. To test, and God will test your faith, amen? And that's what he's doing here with Abraham. God tempts no man to evil, James 1:13 says. But God is putting Abraham to the test of faith. He's testing it, trying it, purging it. Now listen, the devil tempts us to do wrong in order to stumble. But God tempts us to do right in order to stand, amen? Why? Because he wants to increase and strengthen the faith muscle of our heart and soul. And he does it in our daily lives. This is a great story here in chapter 22. In verse 2, God tells Abraham, listen, which this Mount Moriah, he tells him to go to Mount Moriah, which would become Mount Calvary. Another son was offered there. That to sacrifice his son. Now, never before, look at that in verse 2. He said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." This passage has such messianic implications, it's not even funny, folks. I mean, we could spend months literally dissecting the messianic prophecies that are contained in these verses. Never before had God asked a human sacrifice from his people. But Galatians 3 and verse 8 says that the scripture preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Amen? He's showing him a picture. God is revealing a portrait prophetically to Abraham of what he would one day do with his own son. Jesus said, "Abraham saw my day and was glad." Amen? Abraham understood. The Holy Spirit gave him understanding to see the prototype here. Now, in verse 3, God tells Abraham that there's no time to delay. Abraham hears God's voice and obeys. Look at it, verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning. I don't know about you, but I like that. He didn't sleep in. He didn't delay. He didn't postpone what God told him to do. He got up early in the morning. And he said, "I want to obey God and I want to do it early." For beloved, you know how we need to have an attitude, a readiness, Paul said, to avenge all disobedience. We need to have a readiness to obey God. In verse 4, look at it. Imagine Abraham sitting at the campfire with Isaac, his son. Look at verse 4. "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He saw the mount that God pointed out and said, 'Right there's where you're going to do it.'" Okay? Now, I want you to picture this. They're having a little toasting s'mores on the campfire, right? And Isaac, I believe, you got to read between the lines in the Bible. I believe many a time Abraham would take his little boy Isaac, and he just loved Isaac. You see that in verse 2? "You know thy son whom thou lovest," that one. Your only son, by the way. And I believe he would take him and dandle him on his knees and bounce him on his knees and just have fun with his little boy. You dads know what I'm talking about. That little guy, you're so proud of him. And he'd hold him up and throw him up in the air and drop him on his head. No. He wouldn't drop him on his head. But he would have fun with his little boy. He loved spending time with Isaac. And here he is by the campfire, toasting marshmallows. And he sees the mountain afar off. And he knows what he has to do in the morning. Amen? Now listen carefully.
In verse 4, Abraham remembers the promise that God gave him, saying, I will give thee a son, and all nations will be blessed in him. Did you catch that? Abraham understood the messianic prophecy that through Isaac, not Ishmael, all the world was to be blessed. And here is God telling Isaac, telling Abraham to sacrifice this boy on an altar, to kill him. Now, this would take a tremendous amount of faith. He remembers the fun times. The times he told Isaac about how his mother Sarah laughed when God told her she was going to have a baby. And Sarah laughed. I'm sure he shared that with his son, you know. You know, your mom didn't quite believe God. I believe God, but your mom, she kind of laughed and snickered, you know. But here you are, Isaac, my only son. He's thinking, what will it be like without the son of my love? What will it be like without the son that God promised me that I waited 24 years for? What will my life be like? And Abraham had a decision to make. Am I going to put God, number one, in my life and obey his word? Or am I going to put my son before my God? Beloved, we must read here carefully in Genesis 22. I see four things this morning that I want to share with you, and I'll be done. God is taking Abraham through a faith test. And I can find no greater example in all the Bible of a test of a man's faith than this. Listen, I want to give you four things. The first is this. Notice that faith is tested by the depth of its devotion. Faith is tested first by the depth of its devotion. Look at verse 2. Verse 2, and behold, he said, take thou thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. God says, Abraham, I'm going to find out right now how devoted you are to me. I am going to have the rubber hit the road in your life, and I'm going to put you through the test of your life, and I'm going to find out how much I mean to you. Amen? It's a test of his faith, measured by the depth of his devotion. Did you know that your faith is measured by the depth of your devotion, folks? Some folks have just a teeny, leeny, weeny little bit of faith. And that'll work. That'll get you to heaven if you have faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ and you get saved. Some folks have a little bit more faith. Some folks have 100-fold faith. Amen? I don't know about you, but I want to be a 100-fold believer today in my life. Abraham, listen carefully. Abraham was in danger of loving the son more than the God that gave him. Abraham was in danger of loving the gift more than the giver. Abraham was in danger of loving the promise more than the promiser. God is testing Abraham's devotion to him. And he wants to know who is supreme, who is most important, who is the chief object of his desire. God wants to know, beloved, and he, listen to me, he's going to put his finger right on that thing you love most and say, will you lay that on the altar for me? Will you give that up for me? Will you put me before that, whether it be a person or a possession or a bank account or a job or a boat, whatever it might be, God is going to test our faith and the depth of its devotion. Listen, God doesn't want prominence. He wants preeminence in your life. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. Amen? What did you say? What is a god? What is a God that I could possibly have before Jesus Christ? Oh, I'm so glad you asked, because that would be anything you count more dear and more precious than him. Anything. It can be a person. It can be a child. It can be a spouse. It can be an associate. It can be a friend. The question is, does God have preeminence with you in your life? Is anything ahead of him in your life? Listen now. It is not that he doesn't want us to love our mates. It's not that he doesn't want us to love our children. It's not that he doesn't want us to love our job or our, you know, family, our home, whatever it might be, or our friends. But listen, God doesn't want us to love anything ahead of him. Amen? Nothing can take preeminence over him in our lives. R.G. Lee, the incredible R.G. Lee, tells a story of that before his marriage, his wife to be asked him one question. She said, dear, Is there anything that you love more than me? He said, well, yes, that would be God. She said, praise the Lord, we're going to have a great marriage. Amen? R.G. Lee's wife-to-be, his fiance knew that if he had put anything before God, they'd have a miserable marriage. And that's how it works, folks. I love my wife to death. Next week, we'll celebrate our 27th anniversary. Glory to God, we got grandkids. I love her. She loves me. But she loves Jesus more than me. Amen? And I love Jesus more than her. We understand that. You have to understand who has priority in your life. Beloved, if there's anything you love more than him, you will hear him say, take that ministry to Mount Moriah, offer it there. Take that treasure to Mount Moriah, offer it there. Take that car, that boat, that sin, that sacrifice to Mount Moriah and offer it there. Put it up for sacrifice to me. Listen now, let me ask, do you have faith enough to do that, folks? How strong is your faith today? Do you have faith enough to trust God for you to give into his hands whatever it is that you count so dear in your life? Because first of all, faith is tested by the depth of its devotion. But secondly, this morning, faith is measured by the height of its obedience. Listen carefully. Faith is measured by the height of its obedience. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. You know what he's doing? Abraham says, I am so determined to obey my God that I'm going to get up before the sun. And I'm going to go and I'm going to do what he tells me to do. You know what that is? That is a height of obedience almost incomparable in the Bible. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. Notice, he didn't leave the boy behind. And Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Folks, listen to me. Abraham is making ready in verse 3 to obey God in the rest of the passage. You see that? He's making preparation. Folks, if you are going to live a life of obedience, you've got to prepare for it. It doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by mistake. You have to, I love my sister Ellie. Ellie always says, you have to pay attention on purpose. I like that. You have to pay attention on purpose to God's voice and hear it and then do it. Abraham is ready to obey. How quick is your obedience? If there's ever a morning where I'd want to sleep in, it would be that morning. Not Abraham. He says, I set my alarm clock for 4:30 a.m. I'm getting up bright and early to do what God told me to do. Sir Edward Hillary, in 1953, accomplished a feat done by none other before that time. He climbed 29,083 feet to the top of Mount Everest. He climbed as high as a man can climb on planet Earth. But I want to tell you about someone who climbed higher than he. His name is Abraham, and his obedience elevated him above human achievement. Did you hear what I said? Oh, he climbed higher than Emery because he obeyed God. And any man who obeys God is climbing the highest that any human being can climb. I'm here to tell you this morning. Faith is not believing God in spite of evidence, but faith is believing a word from God in spite of consequence. Amen? Faith believes God in spite of consequences. Believing faith rests upon a solid foundation, the Word of God. What we do, what we believe, what we practice is based upon what God says and not man. That's why we can obey with confidence, because we know God is true, though every man be a liar. Romans 1:4 says, we have received grace for obedience of faith amongst all nations. Wow! Did you hear that verse? We have received grace for obedience of faith among all nations. I love that. Faith, listen to me, beloved. Let me make a statement. Saving biblical faith must produce obedience in your life, in some area of your life. There's got to be some obedience. That is evidence of saving faith. Glory to God. Faith is tested by the depth of its devotion. Faith is measured by the height of its obedience. But thirdly, faith is tested by the length of its sacrifice. Amen? I said faith is tested by the length of its sacrifice. Look at verse 4. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again unto you. Notice that. Abraham is willing to make an incredible sacrifice here. Look at it. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. Wow! Did you hear that? Isaac had to carry his own cross. Oh, I hope somebody's getting this. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. Let me time out, church. Notice that Abraham prepares everything he will need to obey God's orders. Hear what I said? He took everything with him that he needed to obey God. He didn't leave anything out. Verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now in verse 8, the Hebrew construction, look at this. In verse 8, I want you to see this. In the Hebrew it reads, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide him, himself, a sacrifice. Did you get it? God will provide him, himself, a sacrifice. Oh boy, this is good stuff. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar. Upon the wood. Folks, what is Abraham doing? His faith is being tested by the length of its sacrifice. He's laying his son on the wood in order to sacrifice him to God. Oh, beloved, I'm here to tell you that Abraham didn't have to do it. Let me make a statement, church. You don't have to obey God. What, Pastor? That's right. You can walk out of this church this morning and go off to the world and do your own thing and live a life of disobedience. You'll be miserable. You won't be blessed. You won't pass the faith test. But you can do that. So could Abraham. He made a free will decision. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to sacrifice what he's asked me to give. Oh, beloved, from the time that Abraham left home, Isaac was as good as dead. Listen. Abraham was sacrificing his joy. Abraham was sacrificing his future. Abraham was sacrificing his family. In Abraham's heart and mind, Isaac was already offered up before he left home. He didn't tell his wife what he was doing. Amen? Boys, listen to me. Sometime God will tell you something you need to do, and you don't confer with the wife on it. There are certain things we're going to tithe. You don't ask your wife if she feels like it. We're going to go to church. You don't ask the kids if they are up to it. We're going to give out gospel tracts for Jesus. Listen, folks, there's certain things that we just need to do. Amen? Abraham didn't ask Sarah's permission. He said, I'm going with the boy. I'll be back. Why? God told him to do it. And what God tells you to do is more important than what Mrs. tells you to do. I'm not saying to leave your wife out of your plans and decisions, guys. I'm saying that we need to hear God's voice and we need to obey it. Listen now. What would he tell Sarah when he got home? Whew, think about, you talk about a doghouse? Wow. Oh, where's the boy? Where's my son, Abraham? Oh, I took him up to the mount there and I sacrificed him to God. You what? You think he'd be in trouble with the wife? Oh, yeah. But he was willing to do it. Folks, I hope you're getting this. What would he tell Isaac when he got up there and tied him to the altar? What would he tell the servants that came with him when he got back down without him? Listen, Abraham's name means father of many nations. But by sacrificing Isaac, he'd be a father of nobody. But God told him to do it. Folks, listen. In Matthew 10:37, don't turn there. Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than I is not worthy of me. I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, this is a serious message. Because God Almighty must become number one. As my wife would say, she's Spanish, numero uno in your life. Amen. He wants to have priority. He wants to have preeminence. He wants to be the one you hearken to and obey. Beloved, when you love God most of all, some will not understand. Christians will not understand. Oh, you're just, you know, you're just trying to be better than the next one. No, you're not. You're trying to obey God. You're trying to please your Heavenly Father. When you love God most of all, your life will begin to make sense. Faith is tested by the depth of its devotion. Faith is measured by the height of its obedience. Faith is tested by the length of its sacrifice. But one last thing I need you to see, beloved. Fourthly, faith is tested by the width of its confidence. By the width of its confidence. Look at verse 10 in our text. Look at verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Did you see it? Listen, Abraham raises his hand with the knife. It's coming down, folks. He's not turning back at this point. He's reached the point of no return. And he begins the downward stroke, and a voice calls to him from heaven. Why? Because Abraham's faith, listen to me, had a wide confidence in God's ability. Oh, I need you to catch me on this fourth point. Abraham had confidence that all would be well, even if he sacrificed his son, because God told him to do it. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that all will be well when we do what God tells us to do. I may not understand it. I may not have all the answers, but I know what God is telling me to do. Amen? This is obedience. This is a confidence of faith. How could Abraham do it? He says, anything God has given me, I can trust him with. And anything he hasn't given me, I don't need. Oh, I love that attitude. Job lost everything and said, the Lord had gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. He lost it all. And Job said, blessed be his name. At the cemetery one Friday, as we were laying Mr. Wentworth, my wife will remember this, we were laying Mr. Wentworth to rest in Bering, Maine, doing the funeral. I saw that on the faces of his family members, God gave them faith to believe that they would be reunited with this dear brother one day. Why? Because he was a believer. Amen? He was a believer, and they had confidence. They weren't. You know, whooping it up and jumping up and down with joy. But they had a peace that passeth understanding, a confidence in God that they would be reunited in glory above. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at this. We know Hebrews chapter 11 is the great hall of faith. You know who's mentioned in there? Abraham. Abraham. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Folks, listen to me. Abraham believed and had confidence in God that if he did what he told him to do, everything would work out in the end. Amen? Folks, look at this. Hebrews chapter 11. Don't miss this. Hebrews chapter 11. Look at verse 17. Verse 17. By what? Faith. Look at it. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises, that's the messianic promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting, that means calculating, believing, reckoning, that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Did you see what verse 19 said? Abraham believed, listen to me, Abraham believed that after he sacrificed Isaac, and Isaac took his final breath, that God was going to raise him from the dead. Did you see it? Verse 19, look at it. accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received them in a figure. Sarah couldn't have a baby. Abraham knew it was a miracle of God that Isaac was conceived. He knew that God gave him that boy and God could give him back. Oh, folks, this faith of Abraham, I tell you, you'll have a hard time finding one to equal it in all the Bible. Now, God gave him the faith to believe that even sacrificing his son would work out. Everything would be okay. The blessing, notice the blessing. God gives, back to our text, don't miss this. Watch the blessing of obedience and faith. God gives him back to him. Look with me here. The glorious event, it's found in Genesis 22, verse 10. Verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord, not an angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord. That's the second person of the Godhead, folks. And when Jesus tells you something, you can bank on it. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Don't you know Abraham was good to be glad to be interrupted right about that moment? Oh, yeah. He froze. And he said, God said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. He passed the test, folks, and he was blessed as a result. God, listen to me. God counted it that Abraham did it, that he sacrificed him. Did you see it? God counted it that Abraham actually came down with that knife and did it, even though he didn't, because God stopped him. Folks, listen to me. God is going to test your faith to see if you are willing to obey his voice. And if you are, like Abraham, you are going to be blessed. Why? Because there was a substitute. Keep reading. Look at it in verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. Now, folks, listen to me. These wild mountain goats, these rams, they don't get caught in thickets, okay? They know what they're doing. They scale cliffs. God stuck him in that thicket. Amen? God provided a lamb. Look at it. And caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the what? Stead. In the stead of his son. There was a substitute. Oh, I hope somebody's listening. There was a substitute for Abraham in this lamb. And there was a substitute made for you 2,000 years ago. A lamb. Of God. God was saying, Abraham, you have not withheld anything from me. So now, I won't withhold anything from you. Abraham was blessed, folks, big time. You read the rest of the story. Listen, God didn't want Isaac. He wanted Abraham. Anybody listening? He didn't want Isaac. He wanted Abraham's heart, and he caught it. Oh, folks, glory to God. Listen now, a man said to a missionary, I'd give anything in the world to have your peace. The missionary said, that's exactly what it costs. Anything in the world that's more important than God. Now, listen, look at verse 14. Don't miss this in closing. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. That means the Lord will provide. The Lord, you know what, folks, listen to me, before we read the rest of this verse. Abraham found out right there on Mount Moriah that God is so great, God is so mighty, God is so able that he can provide anything we need in this life. Listen, he gave his son back. Nothing except God was more important to Abraham than that little boy who he bounced on his knees and who he loved. His only son. But he now knows that God is able to provide. Look at it. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. There's a prophetic statement right there, speaking of the first advent of our Lord and Savior. Jehovah Jireh comes from the verb to see it, which means provision. Provision, pro, God provides, pro. Now, what's it mean? Pro, that's prior to, vision, seeing, provision. You see that God will provide. You believe it. Glory to God. Now, listen, that is to see it beforehand. As Abraham started up the mount, a lamb started up the other side. Amen? I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, that God had that ram waiting for them to arrive. Because he went up the other side of the mountain as they were going up that side of the mountain. What am I saying? I'm saying that as you're in the process of obeying God, he is in the process of working things out for you. This is such good stuff. Abraham was called the friend of God. I don't know about you, beloved, but I want to be called the friend of God. Amen? There's no greater title that you can have to be called the friend of God. Listen, he was called the father of the faithful. My message today is faith, the faith of Father Abraham. Let me give you this story in closing. In 1999, Miriam and I, my beloved, were on the mission field out west to the Ute tribe of Ignacio, Colorado. We were ministering to the Ute tribe. We established a mission church. We built it, and we didn't build a building, but we got a building. We built a mission church to them. And as a result of our labors, took us 4 years, our dream was to have half the tribal people and half Anglo, us white folk, worshiping Jesus Christ together. Because it had never been done before. The Indians wouldn't come off the reservation to go to white man's church, and the white man wouldn't go on the reservation to go to their churches. So the Lord gave us a building on the border of the reservation. Isn't that just like the Lord? On the border. If you walked across the street, you're on the tribe. Walk across the other side of the street, you're in Durango. And guess what? Half of our congregation were natives. Half of our congregation were white men. Glory to God. Why? Because we had the faith to believe. But we're there on the mission field, and we get word from the doctor in 1999, that's 15 years ago, that Miriam's got cancer, my wife. I said, what? I'm serving God. What do you mean my wife's got cancer? Lord, what are you doing? You been there? Oh, yeah. We had a lapse of faith, right? And I'm in the room crying my eyes out. Why did God allow her to get cancer? I need her. I need her. And Miriam comes into the bedroom. She puts her arm around me. She says, honey, there's something we forgot to do. I said, what? And she said, pray and thank God for this cancer. I said, what? She said, we need to pray and thank God for this trial. And she did. She put her loving arms around me and she prayed. And she said, Lord, I thank you for this cancer. I know you got a plan for it. I know you got a reason for it. And you know what? God healed her. She's in church this morning. Glory to God. Why? It was a great test of our faith. Glory. Beloved, mark it down. God is going to test your faith. Because a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the father of the faithful, Abraham, passed the test. Lord, how we thank you for the faith of Father Abraham, that we can imitate and we can believe God and have it counted to us for righteousness. Lord, how we thank you that the whole Christian life is called upon to be lived by faith, not by sight. I'm so glad, Lord, in this church, we don't go by signs, wonders, and miracles, though you give them. We go by faith. Faith in what God says in his holy word. Bottom line, bedrock foundation, the word of God. God who cannot lie, promised eternal life before the world began to all those who believe. We thank you for it this morning, Lord. And my prayer, oh God, for the fathers this Father's Day, is that we as fathers, men of God, husbands, godly fathers and husbands to our wives, would lead by faith, that we would trust in the living God, that we would walk in the steps of faithful Abraham, that our wives and children will see that Dad believes God and that's good enough for me. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning. And we thank you for the shining example of incredible faith, moving mountains. In Jesus Christ's name, we praise you. And the people said, amen. Amen. Beloved, let's grab our hymnals for our hymn of invitation this morning. And let's open up to hymn number 177. I rather love this hymn because it talks about us walking by faith, that is, marching as Christian soldiers by faith. 177. And we'll stand. And we're going to sing the first, the third, and the fourth this morning. Because Sir Isaac Watts wrote the incredible words of this great hymn of the faith. We're marching to Zion. I'm so glad we're on that road. Sing it to the Lord.
Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in the song of sweet accord. Join in the song of sweet accord. And thus around the throne. And thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets.
Everybody,
we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of God on the fourth. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's crown. We're marching through Emmanuel's crown. To fairer worlds on high. To fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion. Beautiful city of God.
Amen. I'm so glad this morning, beloved, that this church, we are marching to the beat of a different drum. Amen. And that is the one that Jesus beats. Glory. We're marching to Zion. And we're doing it by faith. No greater way to live your life than to live by faith. Day in, day out, cleaving unto Him. Trusting Him, looking to Him for every last need in my life. He's got it under control, Abraham. Don't you worry about your son. Hey, by the way, my son's coming home next week from Afghanistan. Amen? God is faithful. Glory to God. Brother Mike, dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget, tonight at 6 p.m., oh, have we got a message tonight concerning the millennial kingdom. You are going to be blessed if you're here tonight. Brother Mike?
Lord, we thank you this day. Thank you, Lord, again for your word.
Yes, Father.
Make it into our hearts and change us. We pray now that you protect us as we go about lives, Lord, in this world. As we live here, I pray that you just have mercy upon us all, Lord. Heal those that are sick. Watch over them, Lord. Encourage them. Uplift them. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Amen.